process of you speaking truth into our life. Thank you for the life we have in you, Heavenly Father. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Well, during this weekend, we want to wrestle. We want to wrestle with the idea and with the understanding of this word hope. Have you caught on to that yet? Hope. Hope as it relates to the scriptures. Hope as it relates, yes, to the Bible. But hope in how it affects our lives as believers in Christ Jesus. This idea of hope is it's part of our everyday experience, really. Hope is the feeling that what is wanted can be had. Hope is this idea that we want events, we want things to turn out for the best. That's what we hope for in life, don't we? We want the situations that we find ourselves in on a daily basis to turn out to be okay. Sometimes we're good with that if things are okay. In fact, when things are going pretty well in life, we often don't think of that word hope. But when things aren't going so well, when the life situations that we find ourselves in just plain suck, then hope becomes more real, doesn't it? Hope becomes more desired. The truth is we all hope, I think, that life will be fair. Don't we want life just to be fair? Raise your hand if you want life to be fair. We want life to be enjoyable, right? We want life to be fulfilling in some way. And hope is kind of an aspect of even this whole weekend and why we're here, why we came together. Well, let me tell you, as a youth department, we have been planning for months now. We've been praying over this weekend for months now, and hope has been a big part of that planning and expectation. We have hoped that the plans would all come together. We've hoped that the guests that we chose to come and spend time with us would be well received, and I think that that's happening. We hope that you as the delegates, as the teens that come out, will know Jesus Christ in your life. And we have hoped that God's glory would be present throughout this weekend. And I believe that you each have hope as well about the weekend. Some of you, your hopes might be in line with us as a youth department. But you know what? Most delegates, I'm sure, you're hoping that council is going to be fun, right? You come out thinking, I want to have a good weekend and I want to do it in this setting. Is that true? Some of you? You hope that you're going to see friends, right? Some of the friends maybe you see once a month at Prayer and Praise. Maybe some friends that you maybe only see once a year. Maybe you hope that that cute girl or that cute guy that you met last year or saw last year might be coming back. I was your age. Ultimately, you want to feel good. You want to feel good about the weekend tomorrow morning or afternoon after lunch when you get back into your van or your bus and you head home. You hope that you can look back and say, you know what? That was good. Now, some of you were at the march, our last Prayer and Praise event at the Irving Park Core. Were you there? Any of you? If you were there, you might remember something really cheesy that I did. I wanted to kind of prove that this idea of hope and set it up for this weekend. And so we did this chant together to get excited about what was upcoming. Remember this?
Who's going to Newcastle?
Future was really into that. She was all, So we feel good about this weekend, right? And last night definitely set the tone. There's no doubt. KB set the tone for the weekend. But here's something to think about, okay? Is feeling good about the weekend really what it's all about? Is feeling good about this weekend really the most important thing? Is there something greater that we should be expecting from youth councils? This is where I'd like us to start thinking about this idea of hope in relation to our faith and in our relation to our life in Christ Jesus. Now, there's no doubt as I look across this room that all of us are in different places in our journey with Christ. In fact, even sitting amongst us this morning, even after KB gave a very clear and direct presentation of the gospel last night, there is still a good chance that there may be those of you out here this morning that still don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You have not accepted this gift of life and this gift of salvation that God offers through His Son. In fact, a lot of what you're hearing may not be making sense at all. It's just not connecting. Now, if I'm talking about you, if you hear that and you're like, you know what, I think I'm there, let me just ask you. I'm just going to ask you to give this a chance. With what's being shared, just to listen to what words are coming out, and just to consider what hope in Jesus might mean to you and your life. And please know that you are loved by God. And please know that you can have this eternal hope. And I thank you for Julio sharing his message, because a lot of people, when they hear about hope, they hear about salvation, they're like, you know what? But they don't know what I've done. They don't know what I've been through. And Julio's testimony is a proof that God can save us no matter what we've done. Amen? So thank you for sharing that. Others of you come this weekend probably in a good place with your life in Christ. And praise the Lord for that. You're growing in your faith. You're excited about your faith. You're involved at the core. You're talking about spiritual matters with your friends. And when I share this idea of Christian hope, you understand that. You connect with that because it's something that you experience every day in your faith journey. Yet, I have to think that there are others, and maybe many others of us this morning, that know Jesus. We have faith in God. We've accepted Christ and His salvation in our life, but we're struggling. We're struggling. We're questioning if this Christian thing is working. We're questioning if it's totally worth it. You may find yourself frustrated with Christ. You may find yourself frustrated with the things that are happening in your life, and it's affecting your faith in God. Maybe you're frustrated with the same sin that continues to repeat itself over and over again in your life, and you don't think it can be defeated. Some of you might come this weekend angry. Angry because things at home are not good. Things at school are not good. And you wonder if God even cares. Maybe you feel like the guy in this video.
Following Jesus isn't easy. I guess Jesus never promises it will be. The journey seems long, and there's a lot of distractions along the way. It's hard to keep pushing against the current all the time. Fact is, I'm getting tired. I'm just not enjoying things at the moment. So I'm just going to go with the flow for a while, not take things so seriously. It's okay, you don't need to worry about me. My Christian friends are worried about me. They think I'm going to drift away. They're so uptight. I'm not going to turn my back on Jesus. I know what I believe. I'm not going anywhere fast. But you know, I'm starting to enjoy life again. There's a lot of good things to see out here. And it's nice to see how other people live. I'm not going to be here for long. It's just a chance to refresh for a while. Okay, maybe test the waters a little bit. But there's nowhere out of God's reach. I can go back anytime. What am I saying? I don't need to go back. I haven't gone anywhere. And I don't plan to go anywhere either.
Some of you here this morning may feel that way about your faith. I've had times like that in my life. I know in particular during my high school days where I felt like I was drifting. I was trying to figure out how to interact with my friends who actually I had here at this camp. This is home to me. This is sacred ground. Some of you were here as leaders at the time. And so I felt anchored. I felt strong and hopeful here. But I had conflict when I went home because I had to interact with my friends who didn't know the Lord. And anybody else, have you been there before where you feel like, man, it's solid? And then you go somewhere else and you're just kind of drifting and you're going with the flow. Now think about that boat in the video. If that boat that man was anchored on was actually firm and anchored strong, and we compared that to a life of faith and hope in Christ, that faith would be steady, it would be firm, and while we live in an ever-changing world all around us, we can remain anchored, and we can remain strong in our hope and in our faith because of Christ, right? And because of what he does for us and what he provides for us and who he is. Now, how many of you here know without a doubt today that when even when you're going through those times in your life that are hard, that are challenging, you know that there is that firm, strong hope that you have in Christ, right? We know that when we have Christ in our life, that's how it is. And he promises us that hope. And Michael's going to talk more about that in just a minute. Our theme this weekend has to do with what?
Anchor.
Hope and being. Oh, come on now. You're awake, right? Okay. It's about being anchored, right? Okay. Whew. I'm glad we got that clear. Now, it's important really to understand what that means. And in scripture, you know, a lot of times scripture comes to us with visuals, with metaphors, with ways of explaining things in our common language. Anchors is what is used here in Hebrews. Anchors can be either temporary or they can be permanent, right? A permanent anchor is used with something called a mooring. And I think this is important to see because it can kind of you can get a picture in your mind. Maybe. Oh, it's over there. I see it now. A mooring is something like a wharf or a pier. Anybody been to Chicago Navy Pier? Okay. Or an anchor buoy or a dock. It's something that is permanent. It doesn't move. And if it does move, it takes somebody very special to come in and actually move it. Now, boats usually carry one or more anchors on them, but those anchors are temporary, right? They can be different sizes, they can be different weights, and those are probably the ones that you think of when you think of anchors, right? Someone says to you, hey, throw the anchor over. You probably think of that one. I do. Now, permanent moorings or structures use large masses of concrete, and if you look there, that is a really awesome picture. You know how when you go across a really large bridge and you wonder, how in the world is that thing staying there? It starts with something like that. And it is concrete that is put right against the wall of the sea. Okay? And it rests on the seabed, actually. Semi-permanent mooring anchors, like a large ship's anchor. Oh, there's another permanent one. They are embedded in the bottom of the seabed. And modern anchors for smaller ships or smaller vessels have metal flukes. If you see there, there's a picture of a fluke. It's like a little hook at the end. And what that does is it buries itself down in the bottom so that it stays firm. In Hebrews 6, verse 19, which we're going to bring up again throughout this, the word anchor is used in a metaphor, in a comparison, for what supports and for what keeps us steadfast in the time of trial and the time of doubt. And it's like an anchor that is used in a mooring because it's permanent, doesn't move, right? It's always there. Imagine if the anchor on, let's say, the Golden Gate Bridge, imagine if that anchor didn't hold firm. This is an actual live picture. We were there last fall. And I was thinking while I was driving over that, what if, right? If that anchor didn't hold us up, there would be a lot of trouble, right? For us, that anchor, that hope that we have, is in who? Who? Jesus Christ, right? The one who doesn't move. He does not change. He is always the same. If you fear, put all your hope in Jesus Christ. That anchor holds. So there are different kinds of anchors, but all have the same purpose of being a firm foundation. They are fixed in order that something will stay put. The Message paraphrase puts it this way in Hebrews 6. We who have run for our very lives to God have every reason to grab the promised hope with both hands and never let go. It's an unbreakable spiritual lifeline, reaching past all appearances, right into the very presence of God, where Jesus, running ahead of us, right? He goes before us, has taken up his permanent post as high priest for us. Amen? In this world, really, we can have situations where we feel like we are a ship at sea, right? And we are tossed up and down, and we're in danger of drifting away from that hope. Like after this weekend, when you go home and you hang out with your friends who you know are not saved. Our souls are that ship, and the comforts and the expectations, the graces and the happiness of our souls are what's being carried along. And heaven is that harbor, right? Heaven is that hope to which we should be focused on and going to. And those temptations and those trials that come our way, those are the winds and those are the waves that threaten our ship. But we have that anchor, don't we? Right? We have the need for that anchor to keep us sure and to keep us steady and to keep us from drifting away like the man on the boat or even drowning. Our hope in Christ Jesus is our anchor. That hope, that anchor is firm, or else it wouldn't keep us focused on the way, right? On Christ. It's an anchor that's thrown on the rock, Jesus Christ. What would happen if an anchor, just for thought, what would happen if the anchor was thrown onto a sandy beach? Would it stay firm if the ship started drifting? No, it has to be planted on something solid, right? A solid rock like Christ Jesus. Our steadfast hope. He doesn't change. And so we know that that's the constant. That is something that we can ground ourselves in Christ Jesus. And I don't know about you, but if you're anything like me, during the awesome times in my life, like the mountaintop experiences, like being here at camp, and I have had many of those here. In fact, I've knelt at these very altars when I was your age. Maybe not in this building, in another building. But those mountaintop experiences, right? We have that. I'm thankful that my anchor, that my hope in Christ is there. And then during those normal times in life, like when you're there, everything's good, you're doing things as you're supposed to. Sometimes in my life, when I'm going through those cruise control times, I feel like I take that for granted. I feel like I take the faith that I have, the hope that I have in Christ for granted. And sometimes I even forget about it. It's during those difficult times in my life when I wonder, where did my hope go? You know, it's been here all along, and now it's really hard to see. And I frantically come paddling back to it, like I've fallen out of the boat, and I'm trying to get back in. Anyone else here with me? Does that make sense? Yeah, okay, good. I'm not alone. I think sometimes we confuse or we mix hope in these situations, the good, the bad, the ugly, whatever, the normal, with how we feel at a certain time. And I'm going to pass it back.
Everybody turn to your neighbor. Give him a little rub on the shoulder. Give him a little rub on the shoulder. Come on. Come on. Let's wake up. Let's wake up. Let's keep this going. All right. We're going to dig a little deeper. We're going to dig a little deeper together. Christina definitely hit the nail on the head with the last comment she made. We don't always feel good about our situations as Christians. There's no doubt about that. In fact, we don't always even feel that God is always present. That's even true in my life. And this is where I want us to put our attention this morning, just for the next few moments together. Our life as Christians cannot be based on how we are feeling about life. I mean, are things going good or are things going bad? It shouldn't matter in our faith in Jesus Christ, because hope is not based on feelings. Hope is based on the promises of God. I want you to hear that this morning. Turn to your neighbor and say, hope is anchored on God's promises. Say it one more time. Hope is anchored on God's promises. Did you know that in the Bible, I have not been able to find a portion, if you do, let me know, I have not been able to find a portion that God promised that our life as believers, that our life as Christians would be easy. That we as believers wouldn't ever go through any problems, any difficulties. That we wouldn't have trials face us. That we would ace every test in school, whether we studied or not, right? Just because we prayed for the A. You know what I'm talking about. This is where Christians get in trouble. We accept Jesus as Savior of our lives, and we then think that everything is going to be like the happy song. Well, the Bible does not say that our life in Christ is going to be easy, but it does say that our life in Christ is going to be joyous. And it does say that our life in Christ is going to be complete when we know Him and when we live in Christ. But this idea of joy that is talked about in scriptures, it's not based on how others treat us. It's not based on this fact that trials are going to come and go. It's not even based on the fact that sin, the sin that we continue to find ourselves struggling with, we may fall into over and over again. We are still going to have good days as believers in Christ, and we're still going to have bad days. The difference, hear me on this, the difference in how we live as believers in Christ compared to non-believers is that we have joy because of the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And that hope is based on God's promises. Anybody know what core, not that slide, but the next slide, what core this is? It's in our Metro division. I knew I'd get a little bit from that side, right over there. Yeah, this is Hebrews 13:8, and it's right in front, or right dead center in the chapel, and it's been there for years. And it's a wonderful reminder that Jesus Christ is the same. Jesus Christ the same. This verse, also in the book of Hebrews, is an amazing reminder that we serve a God who is consistent. We serve a God who can be trusted and a God who keeps his promises. And you know what? That's difficult. I understand that. That is difficult because we live in a day and age that promises don't mean a thing, do they? How often are we let down by promises? Raise your hand if you have ever been let down by a promise of somebody. Oh, come on. All of us should have our hands raised. I don't even know if we use the word promise much anymore because it doesn't have the true meaning of what it stands for. Who here, by raising your hand, believes that God can do anything? Who believes that this morning, that God can do anything? Well, it's kind of a trick question, actually. Because we know, yes, that God can do anything that is good. We know that God can do anything that is right because he is just and because he is holy. But you know, the scriptures actually tell us of something that God cannot do. Look at me with verses 17 and 18 of this Hebrews portion in chapter 6. It says, because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath. And God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which what? It is impossible for God to lie. We who have fled to take hold of the hope offered to us may be greatly encouraged. I'm encouraged by that verse. Are you encouraged by that verse this morning? Turn to your neighbor and say, God doesn't lie. Say it again. This Hebrews portion, people, that we are looking at this weekend is clear that God keeps his promises. And as we look at the portion of Scripture, it talks about Abraham. Now, I'm not going to go into a history lesson here on Abraham, but I want to be just touch on this a little bit because it's important. It talks about Abraham, you know, Father Abraham, who had many sons, right? Many sons had Father Abraham. Oh, here we go. I'm one of them. It talks about Abraham who received a promise from God that would bless his family, that would bless his people, the Jewish nation. And this promise that was given to Abraham would ultimately bless all people, which includes you and me. Amen? One of the promises that God gave Abraham was that there would be one that would come out from his people. There would be an heir that would bring salvation to the world. And you know what? That person came. It was hundreds and hundreds of years later after the promise. And Abraham had to do a lot of waiting. He never saw this day. But hundreds of years later, that promise came true in the person of Jesus Christ. Amen? Jesus came. Jesus showed up. God keeps his promises. And our hope now is Jesus. It's not in Jesus, it is Jesus. Jesus is our anchor in life when we make him Lord of everything in our life. When we, as KB was so clear last night, trust him. When we trust him, which is another difficult thing to do, is to trust, right? But you see, here's the amazing thing, and I want you to hear this morning as we begin to wrap up. God's promises are not fully complete yet. He has made promises that we have not seen yet. He has promised that our hope is going to return. Jesus is coming back to make everything right, to bring life back as it was meant to be from the beginning when God created all things and when God created humanity. God has promised this. And we have to believe that it's going to happen because God cannot lie. And so we wait. And so we wait for this promise to happen. But we wait with hope that it will. We trust that God keeps his promises because Jesus is our hope. Amen. I want each of us to really grasp this morning. Please know that God does not promise us an easy life with no struggles. God doesn't promise us that there won't be pain while we wait. But he does promise, and thank you, Jesus, that he will walk this journey with us. The good days, the bad days. He promises us eternal life. He promises us wholeness, that someday we will be fully human, the way we were created to be when he returns. Is that an amazing hope, people? Does that excite you? And this is why we can't live our Christian lives based on feelings. Why did I think it was so important to share this morning? A few months ago, I sat with a number of youth. And we had an opportunity to go around the room and to talk about how things were going in life. And most of those who shared are believers. But I heard time and time again this idea that I just don't feel God. I just don't feel that he is present. And it was so discouraging to me because I kind of grasped there that this group is representing most of us as believers. It's not about how we feel at the moment. Now, feelings are real. I'm not dismissing that. Feelings are real, but feelings are for the moment, they're not eternal. But promises, the promises of God are forever. As Christians, we need to live our life on the hope that we have anchored in Christ Jesus. Because our life in Christ is forever, amen? Our life in Christ is eternal. And it begins the moment you receive salvation in your life. Don't wait for heaven. Begin living that now. God is good today. He's walking with us today. It may be struggle. It may be a struggle. But he gives us what we need. And praise the Lord. Someday he's going to return. Someday we will be resurrected with him. And we will know what it means to be in the presence of God because we claimed that hope today. I ask you this morning, have you claimed that hope in your life? Or do you sit there hearing this, not having peace about that? Not having peace in your life. You can have peace today. You can have strength today. You can have assurance today. Nate's going to come up, and we're going to sing a song together to help us focus in for an opportunity to reflect, and an opportunity, if we feel we need to respond this morning. Again, maybe some of you are struggling. You are really struggling in your faith, and you need this encouragement. You need this encouragement today in your life, and you just need to grab somebody by the hand, somebody you trust, somebody you know, and just spend some time praying with them. Do that. Don't miss out on this opportunity. That's what this weekend is about. That's what this is about. We want to encourage each other in the faith, but we also want each of you to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You can do that today. This moment.